Welcome back to episode 10 of Well Talks podcast with Dr. Robert Boney, Dr. Jill Franks, and not a doctor, Aaron Chakran. The episode 8, we discussed the ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting. We went through all the benefits of both and all, and then Aaron, you had started to do some intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. I believe you talked a little bit about it.
Yeah, I definitely did.
But now we've all tried it for a little bit longer. I've been doing intermittent fasting for a long time, but I did a 3-day fast, which was fun. I'm excited to talk about. And Jill, you had never done intermittent fasting.
I had never
fasting.
Done it, no. Yeah. So this is the first time.
Yeah, so we don't have to. We don't have to talk about the benefits of it, but what we experience personally. That's So do you want to start?
The rookie? So I had never really done intermittent fasting before. So of course, for this podcast, and one thing that we want to do is experimenting with all these kind of trends and fad diets, just to really talk about our personal experience with it. And I think I took a little bit more of a lax approach to it than I would have when we were doing the keto and had sort of a meal plan to follow. One of the things that I did like about it was that, you know, it was more just the time frame where you were restricting yourself from eating, but there was no restriction in what you were eating at all. So I went in with kind of the goal to do the 16-hour fast and an 8-hour feeding window. And I didn't follow it every day. So I would say the majority of the time I did the 14 to 16-hour window fast. But within that, I usually only did a 12-hour true fast, and then I would have coffee. And I do put some milk in my coffee.
Okay, that's
so I know. So I didn't have any food for usually 14, 15 hours, but I did still have my coffee. And I guess the one reason why I did was just because I didn't want to sort of feel like I was depriving myself in this experiment. And I don't know, coffee is just brings me joy in the morning.
It's beautiful.
It's just a beautiful thing. So I know to some people listening who are true intermittent fasters, and some people sitting here who are true intermittent fasters would absolutely say that I did not follow a strict intermittent fasting protocol. But I did have my coffee.
The coffee's not bad.
Yeah, but I did still put my nice steamed warm milk in my coffee.
And it was dairy.
Yeah, I know. I know, Rob. I'm so sorry.
That's
fine. But yeah, I guess, to be honest, I was expecting to notice something more, to notice something different. I really can't say I felt that much different from it. You know, I got a little hungry in the mornings, but I found 14 hours to be super easy. I didn't even have to think about it at all. The mornings that I pushed it to 16 hours, that was a little bit more when I was kind of looking at my clock and being like, okay, you know, am I going to wait out the other couple hours? And then normally I would get busy doing something, and it wasn't that difficult. The times where in the evening when I wanted to have a bit of a snack, that was where it was difficult, because I knew I wouldn't want to wait until 1 or 2 p.m. to eat. I liked being able to eat at 10:30 if I stopped eating around 6:30 p.m. So that was sort of my motivation to not have an evening snack, because I know the evening snack was just going to be for pleasure, not actually because I was hungry. So my motivation not to have that evening snack was to know I could eat again at 10:30 in the morning, as opposed to 12:30 or 1:30, because that just psychologically to me seems way too late in the day to start eating. Mm-hmm. It just sort of brought a lot more mindfulness around evening snacking, because I typically, I would say probably most of the time, have a bit of something in the evening, and 99% of the time it's just because I want a little something, a little treat, not necessarily because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
It brought a lot of kind of awareness and sort of around, because sometimes I'll, in the evening, if I'm feeling a little hungry, I almost get into that bit of a panic, oh no, I can't go to bed hungry, what's gonna happen? And then you realize, okay, you just go to bed, you lie down, you fall asleep. In the morning, you aren't even that hungry. So it's just sort of that little panic period that if you can get over that and realize you don't actually need the energy to fall asleep, if anything, it's going to do the opposite and, you know, keep you up. So getting over that, it really, really helped with sort of the mind set around evening snacking. But I would say, like, physiologically, I didn't really notice any differences. There was one weekend I had planned to come and do, because normally I work out in the evening, or sorry, not in the evening, in the late afternoon. But I know with intermittent fasting, they do kind of recommend to work out in the fasted state. So I know there was one weekend I was going to come in and do a morning workout, but I panicked and I still had breakfast before coming in. I kind of got a bit worried. I was like, oh no, I want to have a good workout. I want to go exercise. And so I ended up having breakfast, but it was, I think, Monday morning. I came in and I actually wasn't planning on working out in the morning, but I did. So I was kind of like, oh, and I'm fasted and I'm going to work out. So it was my first true fasted workout. And it wasn't really enjoyable, not going to lie. It wasn't. And again, probably because I only did it once. It's not something that I kind of did regularly and got used to it.
But I think that's also was your experience with keto as well.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with your body type in general, like your fitness state as it is, the fact that it's not like you're holding an abundance of body fat to really recruit for energy throughout the workout. You're very lean as it is. So I think that also really plays a key role in why fasted workouts are probably not, and keto workouts are not going to be your best friend. Yeah,
and for me now, like, exercise truly 100% is just because I love it. Like, I am just, I'll admit, like, I am one of those people that truly enjoys the actual exercise part. I know a lot of people just get through it for the results after. I love exercising, and like, I love my workouts. Like, it feels great doing it. I know I'm doing something great for me. It's like me time, completely self-care. Love it. So that's why, like, with the keto and with intermittent fasting, well, it kind of made me feel not as great during my workout, and that takes away a lot of from like what exercise to me is.
I'm really curious to see if in our experimentation we come across something that does change it for the better, because I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's already what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, keto, because I was on keto a lot longer and exercised like in the ketogenic state a lot longer. And later on in the keto diet, then I did start feeling the benefits of being on keto and exercising, you know, having that boost of energy in the second half of my workout, which, you know, was a little bit more foreign than I usually feel, but yeah, we'll see.
I like that you brought up the snacking at night thing, because that is one of the biggest benefits that I find with most people for the intermittent fasting. So physiological benefits aside, and you said you didn't notice much, and that's
not
fine.
Really.
Like, everyone's different, so perfectly acceptable for you not to have noticed anything. But you don't have personally weight to lose. You're good where you're at. But a lot of people that snack at night can be a big difference maker long term. When we're thinking week to week, even one full year starts to get into that territory, but even month to month, you're not going to notice that extra snack where you might have half a bagel and put some things on it, which could be an extra 200-300 calories depending what you put on that bagel, or toast, or whatever it is, or whatever, a handful of nuts. Like, the thing is that a lot of people will get their excessive calories in that late snack that they don't need. And when you're taking in a few hundred extra calories every night for a year, you put on 5 pounds or so. I could do the math. It adds up. Like, 3,500 extra calories is a pound of fat. And if you're taking in 100 extra a night in how many days? In 35 days, you've gained a pound. So it adds up quickly, and that's a big thing that intermittent fasting cuts out, is that extra snack, which could have led to extra weight gain. And that doesn't mean on an intermittent fasting diet you won't gain weight, because in that window, if you're still overeating, all you're doing is, instead of maybe gaining 2 pounds a month, you're gaining 1 pound.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm using easy whole numbers, but it could be a smaller amount than that, like a quarter of a pound. But over a year, that ends up being about 2 pounds. And you don't notice that day to day, but you do notice it long term. So a lot of the benefit comes from just that alone, which I like that you brought up, and you noticed that mindfulness, that's what I love using it first and foremost for, is that relationship thing. And I think I've talked about it before, so I'll let Aaron go with that.
Well, yeah, like I've been doing it actually steadily for the last, I think almost close to 2 months. I've been doing it for a while. One of the things, like now on the weekends, is sometimes depending on if we're going out or if there's something happening, my hours will change a little bit. So I haven't been as strict on the weekends following my specific times, but during the week I find it very easy. One of the things, so funny enough, like now I, as I'm sure if you've been listening to the last, you know, few podcasts, you know, my relationship with food and my relationship with my weight has always been an issue. So I've, since January, I've been taking a lot more care of myself and really focusing on my goals and my needs and really paying attention to what I'm doing. And I found that the intermittent fasting has made me a lot more aware and conscious of what, number one, what hunger actually means. Number two, it makes me conscious of how often I would snack at night or just even eat, because I work crazy hours. I get home quite late, so by the time I get home, that's usually was my dinner. Now when I get home, I make it a point that I'm not eating because I stop eating at 8. In terms of waking up, except there's some nights where I get home and I am hungry. I just have to either distract myself or chug some water. But in the mornings, there's mornings that I'm starving like all morning, but I kind of push through it. There's other mornings that I'm not overly hungry. I work out every morning at 9, or almost every morning at 9, and I absolutely love working on an empty stomach. I've never done well with food in my system, even if it's healthy food. I've always preferred working on an empty stomach. Even when I was on keto, most of my workouts were in a somewhat of a fasted state, so I always feel a lot better, and I feel a lot more energy in the morning. You know, I feel it's because of the fasting and the fact that I'm working out in the morning as well. But I feel like the fasting has definitely contributed to my energy levels and my mood. Another thing that I'm noticing, yes, and you know, Rob can touch base on this a hell of a lot more than I can. And I know you're an advocate of, you know, the physiological benefits of the fasting. I look at it from a very different perspective. Like, I know before we started this, you and I had differing views on fasting, and I wasn't so pro-fasting. The way I look at it now is I think it really does shorten the window of time that you can't eat. And it's quite hard. You have to put some effort into overdoing it on your caloric intake within an 8-hour window. That's one of the things that I've noticed. It's quite hard to overeat when you only have a short period of time to do it in. Not that you're trying to compete and trying to eat as much as possible, but
do it in big amounts.
But like that's true. Like if you're eating the wrong foods, yes, your caloric intake can go up. But now if you're going to be conscious while doing this, and also maintaining, like I'm still a firm believer in, you know, multiple small meals throughout the day. I know you have a differing view, which is cool. You definitely elaborate on that. But I've always been an advocate of multiple small meals throughout the day. Now fitting 4, 5, 6 meals within an 8-hour window is definitely hard. So I've noticed only about 4 are being consumed, which definitely has reduced my overall caloric intake. You and I are finally doing a consult after about 2 months tomorrow, which delightfully, my weight is still being stubborn as hell. My body composition, I know, has changed, so I'm excited to show that. And I think that's one of the contributing factors is the fasting. Before I give you the mic, one of the things that I really want to stress, because I know a lot of people are now seeing ads and videos from all of these different quote unquote hardcore quote unquote gurus of the fitness industry promoting intermittent fasting and all of this great stuff where you can work out way less and eat whatever you want, but as long as you're following their specific rubric to fasting, then you'll be able to have this six pack and still eat and drink whatever you want. And that's not the case, guys. I don't care what ad is out there and what you're reading or seeing. If you're going to eat terribly, you can absolutely still gain weight while fasting. That's not the right way of doing it. You still have to be conscious of what you're eating, but following the fasted regimen will definitely help aid in the results physically. So just exercise caution when doing it, and just make sure you're being responsible with, you know, with the regimen, making sure you're eating the right foods.
Yeah. Just to clarify on the whole how many meals in a day thing, I know you're pro the small ones. It's not that I'm against it. I just found that I used to like religiously have to snack in between meals and have that all prepped. Just because I thought that was what you were supposed to do, and I thought everybody got hungry all the time. I just found that after trying a different way, that it worked better for me. That doesn't mean it works better for everybody. Just like I like intermittent fasting, like you started to, which I'm really happy about, but it doesn't work for everybody. Like Jill hasn't had the same love of it on an empty stomach of exercising or something like that. Like I love exercising fasted, but again, I always went out of my way before getting into this to try to eat something before I worked out, because I thought that was the only way to do it. But it's really about, the only thing that I'm against is following something that you think is right just because it's been told to you that way for so long. So it's about just breaking that and trying to see what works for you better. The meal thing, that's like, there are benefits to having smaller, more frequent meals. I found personally I was gaining weight because I was eating too many things frequently and too much. But the other thing with the meals is that you brought up was that, it's really when you're being conscious of what you're eating. If you're eating like a whole foods diet and you have that window, it is hard to gain weight. It's a lot easier to maintain. It's a little harder to lose. Weight loss is always a tricky thing. But maintenance has been a big, easier thing for me personally anyway, since I've been doing intermittent fasting now for probably about 2 years. It just has become like a natural thing that I don't have breakfast until a little later. But I've always, I liked snacks because I liked how they made me feel, but I've never been a snack person. So when I eat two bigger meals a day, I'm just more satisfied having those large meals because I love food, but I love like real food. Like I'll always take like a steak over some candy or something like that. Salty has always been my thing, and chocolate, I've never cared for the chips or anything like that. So for me, not snacking hasn't been a big problem, but if you're used to it and you like it, then fantastic. I just don't care as much for snack foods, and so the two bigger meals where I just get to eat a whole bunch of eggs and salad and whatever, avocados, all in one sitting, I love it. I love that feasting. But only twice a day because I eat a lot of calories in those two times. So the intermittent fasting, I've done that for a long time. Great. What I experimented with recently and got a few people to try, I think you tried it as well,
Aaron. I did once before you did the three, I did a 44-hour.
Which worked. And you weren't even planning on it.
No, that's why it worked out for me. I wasn't planning on it.
That's one of the things that I want to talk about. So I've done a 24-hour fast in the past. I'd never done a 44 or anything like a two-day. And then I tried to do a three-day fast. You started it with me. You did better the first time when you did it by yourself. I got two friends of mine to try it. One did a day and a half. The other one made it just under 3 days because he had something to go to, wedding stuff. And he had a colleague of his join in with him and do it. And I think he made it the same amount of time. The interesting thing I found was following up with everybody. So the 3 day fast, let it be put on the record there. It sucks. I don't care what anybody tells you. Not eating for 3 days is not fun. If someone says it didn't bother them that much, they haven't done it recently. I don't know what it is. They're just made different. Whatever. It's not fun. But like you said, actually, the only time I really struggled with it was when I knew it was almost time to eat again. Because I was anticipating that food. But the first day I knew I couldn't do anything, so it was fine. Like it's not great, but it was fine. The second day, I thought I would have more trouble because it was a very interesting thing where we had a whole catered event and I had to sit there while everyone had these delicious foods, and I just drank water and had a few espressos. I had a lot of espressos in that time because everyone just kept getting plates of pasta, pizza, veal. It was amazing. Not for me. So I sat there and ate none of it, but it was okay because I knew I had a whole other day. Like, I think that that knowledge of the day coming up to an end is the problem. But even sitting through all that feast of food, I was able to do it. On the third day, it was like counting down the minutes, where it was getting closer and closer. Originally, I had planned on making it a little past 72 hours, the 3 days, just because I was going to be working till a certain time, and then I was going out for dinner that night, and I was going to just enjoy whatever that dinner was. But I ended up like bringing a bunch of fruits. And I remember it so specifically because as soon as like that time hit that it was 72 hours, it was 7:30. I think I maybe waited until 7:45 because I was still debating it. And then I had a strawberry as one of the fruits. I didn't even take the leaves off the stem. I ate the whole thing. It was amazing. Like the textures, like leaves were crunchy. And the I'm salivating now. Remember, like it's not even good. But in that moment, it was the best thing. And then I went and had like a steak dinner, which was incredible. So that was fun. What I didn't account for, which made sense after, was how much weight I would lose in 3 days. What I forgot to account for was a complete like glycogen drain. Like I was definitely in a ketogenic state. I think my wife was telling me I had some funny breath from that too. Like that was ketosis for sure. But I lost 8 pounds in 3 days, which was way more than I thought, just based on math, that I'd lose maybe 2 or 3, somewhere in the middle there. I forgot to account for like glycogen drainage, like just all the water weight, which in an average person, I don't think I'm above average, is about 5 extra pounds of weight. So that was the water weight that was gone. So that came back almost immediately after I had eaten again. That just replenished. So that came back. I was down about 1 pound overall, which was interesting. I thought I'd keep off a little bit more. What I noticed after that, so I started eating normally again. I went back into my intermittent fasting. I had a deeper appreciation for food. And it's funny because before I talk about intermittent fasting, where like you don't really know what you're hungry until like 16 hours. Now I'm like, no, you know, I started to feel like slow. Like everything was happening one thing at a time, but nothing really bothered me because nothing was more important than hunger. So like, any stress just bounced off. You really realize what is important in life. So that was interesting. But everything was just kind of one thing at a time. And my body felt a little slower, a little achy. I don't know if that was I had too much espresso. It's never full coffees, never anything in them, just espresso. So maybe all that caffeine on an empty stomach bothered me a bit. Not sure. But yeah, the 3 days was an experience. What I noticed that was very interesting after, so I did gain all the weight back almost immediately. What I noticed a week, maybe even 2 weeks after the last day, was I had not been really, like I'd been doing the intermittent fasting, but I was eating whatever I wanted kind of thing, like within health reasons, like nothing crazy, but I wasn't following like a ketogenic diet. If I wanted pasta one night, I would have it. If I was going to have a little piece of toast, something like that, I would do it. So it wasn't a very low carb diet in any way. It was still mostly vegetables and fats. Like I still stick to my roots. But I noticed that when I stepped on the scale after not having done it since weighing in maybe the next day after the fast, I was down. I usually sit around 180 to 185. For me to get under 180 pounds, I have to work pretty hard. I had not been working hard, and I was at 177 with like clothes on, which I only got into the mid-170s before, when I was on a very strict ketogenic diet before this. I was not caring about what I was eating, and I noticed that the weight loss just kept happening, and I kept stepping on the scale after that to see, and it was staying steady, and I hadn't increased my exercise. So it was very interesting to see that, and I still can't fully explain what happened, but I was curious to see what happened to the other people that did the 3 days, and they actually surprisingly noticed the same thing, where about 2 weeks later, because that's when I followed up with them, they had noticed that they had dropped below kind of like their plateau weight, and stayed that way without having to really try. I weighed in today, yesterday that I weighed in, and I've gained a little bit of weight back, but I have been exercising more, and I'm still just under 180, which I have not been, like, this is the least hard I've ever had to work, aside from 3 days of not eating anything, to maintain that weight, which I'm very curious to see how long that lasts or what else comes of it, but I think that fascinated me the most, aside from any other. Kind of, I got a little bit sick after. I don't get sick often, so I was disappointed. It didn't last long. It kind of like was the beginning of a cold, and then it went away within a day, so that was weird. I don't know if that was from not eating. It started as soon as I started eating again. Could have been a timing coincidence thing, but it passed very quickly, which doesn't always happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the weight loss thing was very, it still boggles my mind, and I'm still waiting to see, like, when's it going to go back up? Is this a thing? Is this how I live now? Is this my life? Because I'm not bad at it. But I'm going to start upping my training because of that marathon stuff. I just haven't had the motivation to go strictly ketogenic like I thought I might have run the marathon. I'm enjoying more carbs now, that the whole fasting thing. I just appreciate them. Whole grain. I'm not even doing that many grains. But like starchy or vegetables and stuff like that. I'm having more of. So we'll see how the ketogenic marathon goes. First, I still am doing a marathon. Yeah. I just want to see what I'm going to do diet-wise with it. But that fascinated me the most. What was your 44-hour? Because that's still a pretty significant fast.
It was the longest I've ever done. Like, I've done 24 hours multiple times. But the 44 was weird. I started it. I was already doing intermittent fasting. I started it on a Sunday because my stomach was just in shambles. I wasn't feeling well. And I remember we had a podcast that week, and you had said, you talked about these full fasts, and you had said that oftentimes if you're not feeling well, doing a full fast is almost like a reset. So I was like, you know what? Maybe listen to the naturopath. He might know a thing or two. And I did. And by the next day, my stomach felt like I was zero bloating. I felt incredible, and I had a lot of energy. And at that point, I was already past my 18-hour, like, my 16-hour fast. And I felt great. So I was like, okay, you know, let me try to push this. I want to see if I can get to 24 hours because I haven't done that in a long time. So I hit 24 hours. It was completely fine. I, again, felt a hell of a lot of energy. I felt really, really good. I didn't feel overly hungry. Every so often, I felt a little bit of a pit in my stomach, but nothing crazy. And I was like, okay, you know what? Let me try to go one more night. And I slept the entire night. I was fine. I didn't wake up. Nothing. Woke up the next morning. I was full of energy again. Went until about, when did I start? It must have been maybe mid-afternoon. Or like late afternoon, where I was okay, you know what, I think it's enough, I'm not gonna push it any further. And I ate and I was completely fine, didn't have any there was no negative side effect to it. I was thinking, funny enough that you said you got sick, I was thinking I was gonna get sick, but I was surprised I didn't. I felt great. When I tried the 3-day fast, it was literally impossible for me. I started shaking, like I literally visibly shaking in my hands. Honestly, maybe not even 20 hours in. Like I got through the majority of the first day, and because I started the night before, got majority of the first day in, and then I couldn't. I had to have a protein bar, and so originally I was just like, okay, I'll have a protein bar and I'll count that as like a semi break, and I'll just do the rest. And then I just couldn't stop shaking, so I just called it.
Yeah, I don't think that was a bad decision on your part. I mean, yeah, like fasting probably doesn't work for everybody. I wasn't feeling great on the last halfway point on, but I never had anything that made me feel like it was dangerous.
Yeah.
So yeah, if anyone does try this and you start getting something like that happening, definitely break that fast. For me, it was a big thing on just when I set my mind on something, it's very hard for me to change it.
Yeah.
And I like to try to accomplish goals. And you had already done a big one. I think you were part of the motivation I needed to beat it. Because 44 is no small feat. That is impressive.
Yeah, I was definitely excited about that.
And it's funny because people were asking me after the 3 days, like, would you do it again? Like, how often would you do it? I'm like, no, never again. But now that it's been a little bit longer, I'm like, maybe I could. But no, I'm just trying to. Is this what pregnancy is like? while you have multiple kids. Like, you forget how ridiculous it is. But if anyone is going to do it, I wouldn't recommend doing a full 3 days more than, like, once a year if you feel like you need to. And I wouldn't, for myself, at least this is what I kept telling myself, so I'm trying to remind myself what I said in clarity. I wouldn't do it for no reason. Like, if I had something that I needed, like a gut reset, or something was really bothering me and I thought that a fast would be applicable, I would do it, but I don't think I'd do 3 days again for no specific reason, just to try. I like doing things that I tell other people to do, so that was a big motivating factor for me the first time. But again, I do a 1 day and maybe do a 2 day, maybe once or twice a year. I don't think that's as bad, but a full 3 days, I'd have to have a reason for it if I wanted to do it again. Yeah. So if anyone's listening and is curious about this, there are benefits. I've heard of people's pain and everything going away. So if there's something there that it might benefit, then maybe try it, but do it supervised. Don't do it on your own. Make sure people know you're doing it in case, if you're getting really dizzy, you don't want to be driving or doing too much. But being distracted is also very good. Because I found personally the only time that I realized I was super hungry was when I had nothing else to do. Yeah. It's just like, oh yeah, I haven't eaten. Let's think about that for 20 minutes. So yeah, that was my interesting take on it. And I don't know how long the weight loss thing will last. I don't even know how to fully explain it. If somebody else does that's listening, I'd love to hear. But I've tried to rationalize it, and I don't know, other than like some kind of metabolic reset. Yeah. Usually it goes the other way, where your metabolism is supposed to slow down. I thought I'd gain more weight, but that has not been the case.
Yeah. So. No, it's interesting.
Yeah. Who's trying it next?
No. I'll pass.
Fair. I don't blame you. I would recommend for no reason to do it. Yeah.
Perfect.
That's it.
Well, once again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to speaking to you again. Have a good one, guys.
Ciao.
Bye.